Good morning. This is Fred Gillenwater, pastor of Russell Road Church in Sydney. We appreciate you joining us this morning and the opportunity to serve you. Our services are Saturday evening at 7 p.m., Sunday morning at 9 and 11 a.m. If you would like to contact us, please visit www.russellroadchurch.com or call us at 492-6412.
Climbing in where there's temptation, can I get back out? Never can quite find the answer, the one I want to hear. The one that justifies my action, says the coast is clear. Something on the outside says to jump on in. Inside, it's telling me again, better wise up, better think twice, I never leave room for compromise, better wise up, better get smart, use your head to guard your heart, it's gonna get rough, so you better wise up.
Know your enemy. Remember we talked about how the enemy works, and this is how he works, always through people. Remember, you can either be a gate from hell, or you can be a window of heaven. God works through people, and Satan works through people. We have to understand it, because when you understand that, that changes things. Peter was a good example of that. When Peter, in Matthew 16, Jesus said, "Who do you say I am?" And Peter said, "You are the Christ." And Jesus said, "Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but the Spirit." In other words, Peter was now being a window of heaven. He was bringing heaven to earth through that revelation. But right next to it, what happened? Jesus started to tell him he was going to go be crucified and all these things were going to happen. And then what did Jesus say to him? He says, "You are not mindful of the things of God, but you are mindful of the things of men. Get behind me, Satan." Now he was become a gate from hell because he was trying to get between Jesus and the will of God for Jesus' life. And that's what the enemy always does through people. He will try to get between you and the will of God. And that's what you have to be wise and understand what's going on in your life. And rebuke the enemy, love the person, pray for the person, bless the person, but you rebuke the enemy. People are never your enemy. People are never your enemy. The only way the enemy can work is through people on earth. Spirits have to have a body to work through. They have to. The Holy Spirit has to have a body to work through. Or if the Holy Spirit didn't need a body, he'd just... okay, he'd take care of every problem on earth and just be done with it. But he has to have a body to work through. And that's the body of Christ. That's you and I. And as individuals, doing what God has called us to do. So, in the earth realm, the enemy needs a body and God needs a body. And it's always through people. This is what we got to understand. And the idea is, we got to understand that we don't come against people. Remember, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, and against the rulers of the darkness of this age. Against spiritual hosts of wickedness, where? In high places. It's a spiritual battle, and when we understand what's going on, it changes things. It really changes things, and we got to understand this. Something that's really important is to be teachable. When we come to a place like this, we want to come with an attitude to be taught, to learn, to understand. See, you come here, you're going to learn and grow and understand things that you don't get everywhere else, right? So, when God speaks, He's communicating. And that's what communication means. It means to inform. So, you're being formed on the inside when you receive His truth, His Word. You see that? When you're being formed on the inside. So that's why when we come here, we want to be taught. And so we don't want to have this omniscient attitude. We got to stop and say, I need to be taught some things. I need to understand. Because, folks, we're talking about spiritual things. And that's why Jesus said, I'm sending you out as sheep amongst wolves. I want you, sheep are the dumbest animals on the planet, but I want you to be a smart one. That's what Jesus is saying. I want you to be smart. I want you to be wise. Wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Remember, I went and heard my one of my mentors, Dr. Ronald Cottle, from Beacon University, and he said he would give everything he has to know two things. Number one, his calling. Number two, his enemy. You got to know your enemy. Because your enemy can take the head off of your dreams and can blind you from your vision. And when you don't have a dream and a vision, you're never going to fulfill what God has called and created you for. And that's why you got to know your enemy. So we talked about how when Jesus said, bless those who persecute you. Bless them. Remember, the word bless is the Greek word eulogio. That's where we get the word eulogy. And when you do a person's funeral, you do their eulogy. And you speak well of them. You bring up the good things about that person. That's what it means. That's what that word blessed, eulogy, means, to speak well of. So Jesus is saying, speak well of your enemies. Look at the good in the person that's coming at you and doing you wrong. Find the good and talk about it. You can't do that apart from God. That is huge right there. Persecute. Bless those who persecute you. Pursue to execute. That's what that word. Pursue. Something is trying to take you out, and it's coming through a person. And now, here's the irony. You got to love the person, bless the person, but you got to get mad at the enemy. It's always the enemy working through the person. 1 Peter 5 says that we have an adversary, an enemy. He walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's going to be working through people. And here's the thing. It's always through your friends. It comes, the enemy works, comes and works through your friend. It has to be your friends, the ones who are close to you, or he can't hurt you. That's huge. Go with me to Matthew 10, 16. We're going to read one verse. But first, before we read our verse, I want you all to turn around, and I want you to read that vision on the wall up there. And we're going to read it in unison. To build a people who are established in God's word, advancing his kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. See, we're trying to stay focused. That's huge. You got to have that vision focused, right? Matthew 10, 16. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. So Jesus is saying, he said, behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Jesus is saying, I'm sending you out among wolves. Who are the wolves? People. People are the wolves. And wolves are predators. But he says, you're going to have to be wise concerning people. Everybody say wise.
Wise.
Everybody say harmless.
Harmless.
That's big. Wise and harmless amongst people. That's the call of God on our life. When we get this wisdom about how the enemy works, things begin to make sense. Because sometimes you can be, where is this coming from? You know, you just got off the phone with somebody, or you went and visited some relatives, or you've been in something, and you know what? People are, the enemy's using someone in your life. And you got to understand where it's coming from. And when you understand that, that's power. Now, he says, what credit is it if you love people, if you love people who are loving you, what good is that? He says, I want you to love people who don't love you, who aren't loving you. What credit is it if you're like, the world does that, right? I want you to love the people who aren't loving you. He says that he gives you credit. When you love somebody and they're doing you wrong and you return love, you get a credit in your account. You see that? You get a credit in your account. He says, repay no one evil for evil, but overcome evil with good. Always. Always do good. And as you do that, that's power in your life. You see, but when you begin to act like them, the power leaves. The power leaves. When you begin to return evil with evil, and you're retaliating, that is a difficult thing to do, is to not retaliate when somebody's doing you wrong. My dad taught me when, you know, if anybody messes with you, you square them off in the nose. He was a country boy from Virginia, you know? And I tell you what, I was raised that way, and that's a hard thing. That's a hard thing to deal with. You see that? Because you want to retaliate. But you have to let God be your vindicator. And God will do it. God will take care of it. In Proverbs chapter 6, it says that God hates. There's seven things that God hates. And he says God hates it when someone sows discord. He hates it. He hates it. He abhors it. So anything he abhors, you better go the other direction in. But we're to be wise concerning people. It's because people are the ones that sow discord, right? We're not to hate the person. We're to love the person, pray for the person, bless the person. But rebuke the enemy. I remember reading years ago about this example of relationships. And they used the tabernacle as the model for relationships. Okay, the tabernacle is, you have the outer court, you have the inner court, and then you have the Holy of Holies. That's where intimacy takes place, in the Holy of Holies. So that's kind of the way we need to be with people that we really allow close in our life. We have to treat it like the Holy of Holies. Way too often we give people access into our Holy of Holies when we don't even know them. We don't even know them. We tell them everything. We just tell them everything and some people will use that against you. You hear me? Some people will act like they're your friend and you're telling them everything and then the next thing you know, they're using that as leverage to affect your life and control you. Am I talking to the right people? Intimacy is special. Intimacy is the Holy of Holies. Intimacy is where wounds, hurts, and past failures are made known. Intimacy is where dreams, visions, and aspirations are revealed. You better make sure you're talking to the right people when you're sharing those things in your life. Am I making sense? You better make sure that you're talking to the right people when you share them. People must earn the right to be able to walk into your Holy of Holies. In the Holy of Holies, a priest had to be clean. I'm not even going to belabor that. He had to be clean. He had to be pure. He had to go through all kinds of rituals and ceremonies before he could get into that Holy of Holies. But we allow anybody to walk into our life without walking through anything to get into the most intimate areas of our life. Folks, and I'm going to tell you something, you have to be wise. Is this making sense this morning? You have to be wise. Some people will end up marrying someone worse off than what they get divorced, they get hurt, and then they find someone, and then they end up marrying someone worse off than what they had because they allowed them into their life without really seeing who this person was. Come on, am I talking to the right people? In order to get access into your Holy of Holies, in order to get access to your life, they must go through loyalty and be faithful and have character, not by the way they look. Not just by the way they look. Too many times people go just by how they look. She is so fine. Looky here. He is a hunk. He is fine as fine can be. And they walk around clanging like a bell. Ding dong. Ding dong. They don't even have a thought in their head because they're so wrapped up in the way the person looks. I've seen this. Folks, we got to get way beyond that. Marriage is a God thing. And we got to do it His way. Marriage is an assignment from God. When Jesus got His assignment, there is no record of the enemy, of Satan bothering Jesus or even attempting to bother Him until Jesus got His assignment. Until there was a declaration of who He was. When you find out who you are and you find out your assignment, you better buckle up because hell is going to come against you. At 30 years old, what they say about Jesus? God said, "This is My Son in whom I am well pleased." The next thing you know, He's being led into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. When you discover your assignment, the plan and purpose of your life, you can rest assured the enemy is going to come and tempt you and to begin to hammer you because he doesn't want you to fulfill the destiny God has for you. He'll leave you alone if you just aren't concerned about it. He'll leave you alone. He doesn't care. If you just want to be a Christian and go to church once in a while, not be effective, that doesn't bother him one bit. But Jesus said, occupy until He comes. Occupy until He... You know what occupy? It means to take up territory. Take up territory. It means you are taking territory. It means, well, there's mental illness in my family. You don't know what kind of family I've been. But I'm not going to be like that. I'm going to occupy. I'm going to have a sound mind. God hasn't given me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. Well, my family has always had, there's so many of us going to jail and all kinds of things happening. We just don't know what's going on. Our family's a mess. But I'm going to have a sound mind. Nobody in my family ever graduated from college. But I'm going to graduate. You can rest assured that there's going to be a fight. There's alcoholism in my family. I'm not going to drink. I'm here to tell you, you have to occupy that. You have to put your feet down and say, I'm going to occupy this and I'm going to fight for this. Because all hell is going to break loose against you when you make a decision that you are going to go forward. Because progressive people always make non-progressive people upset. And you start progressing, they're going to start attacking. Because you're putting light on what they're not doing and what they should be doing. Occupy. Occupy. The enemy will fight you over the Word of God. In Mark 4, it says the sower sows the Word. But then the enemy immediately comes and steals the Word. Steals the Word that was sown in your heart. Why? Why does he do that? You know why he does that? Because the Word brings revelation into your life. The Word gives you a mental picture of a better tomorrow. The Word gives you a better life and gives you hope of a better life. And you can see it in your mind's eye. But the enemy is a thief. God is a giver. The enemy is a thief. God gives gifts, the enemy steals. And that word thief, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. That word thief means klepto. He likes to steal stuff just to steal stuff. Just because. And he doesn't want you to have anything that's going to propel you into your future of a better life. Come on, am I making sense? The Bible says that God watches over His Word, Jeremiah 1:12, watches over His Word to perform it. It says, as the rain comes down from heaven and the snow and does not return there, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be. It shall not return to me void, but it will prosper in the thing for which I've sent it. And then you will be let out with joy and walk in peace. That's the kingdom of God. You see, when you get that word in your heart and you begin to apply it, now I'm advancing God's kingdom in my life and in other people's life. And that's why the enemy is working so hard to keep you from doing that. We got to get a love for his word. Am I making sense? That's why I have people say, well, since I started coming to your church, it seems like all this stuff starts happening in my life. Well, that's true. It's going to happen. I'm giving you some word that's going to bring attacks in your life. But I'm also going to give you some word that can help you to overcome. And so you can fulfill the assignment on your life. But whoever keeps my word, truly the love of God is being perfected in him. You see that? The one who's keeping it, the love of God is being perfected in him. Love endures forever. In that same chapter, it says that all will hate you for my name's sake. But he who endures till the end shall be saved. You see, the word of God has an enduring power in you. And when you get it in you, it helps you to endure. But we have not been born of a corruptible seed, but an incorruptible seed through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Because the flesh is as the grass, and the glory of man is as the flower of the grass. For the grass withers and the flower fades away. But the word of the Lord endures forever. You see, you can outlast any enemy that comes against you when you know who you are. You see that? But I'm here to tell you, this is how it works. This is how it works. You can be an overcomer, but the enemy is right there to steal it from you if you're not aware of it. And you got to know your enemy. You got to know your enemy. You got to be intelligent about the people who you allow in and out of your life. Don't get married because you're lonely. Don't just get married because you're lonely. I've seen people get married just because they're lonely. The criteria for any battle or any fight that's worth fighting is this. Does it prohibit your future? Does it prohibit your future? I'll tell you what, I'm going to fight for that. If you try to get between me and what God is calling me to, we're going to have a confrontation. You see that? That's why I like to fight. Watch those Ultimate Fighting. You ever watch that? People say, well, why do you watch that? You know, it's just, God, we got to have a fight in us. You know, not a physical fight, but there's something about that. You're going to have to fight for it. You're going to have to say, I'm going to fight the good fight of faith. And I'm going to possess what God has for me and not let anything back you down. But here's what I won't fight for. Your opinion. What you say and what you think about me, really, it doesn't matter. You have to know that. Too many people live in a prison of what others think about them and what others' opinions are of them. I'm going to tell you what, you will never fulfill God's plan and purpose if that is you. If you're always concerned about other people's opinion and what they think about you. Folks, we need to get concerned about what God says about us and who God says we are. That's where life is. And that's worth fighting for. The enemy wants to fragment your focus. He wants to get you off focus and divert your attention so you can't see what God has for you. He's always trying to bring confusion and get you to thinking you're over-concerned about what this person thinks and what they're doing and get you confused. See that right there? Has no power, but it does have the power if you let it to stall you and stop you from the plan and purpose of God in your life. We got to be wise. Wise. Everybody say wise. Harmless. Now, listen to this. When we have anger and we get angry, a lot of times we feel as someone has sinned against us or really done us wrong, And folks, listen to me. That's an emotion that you are going to have to control, because anger has the potential to really take you to the wrong place. People go to prison. People end up in all kinds of emotional messes because of anger. He says, don't let the sun go down on your anger, right? Why? It's not because of the anger. It's because of the sin that you do out of the anger. You see that? It's because your actions out of that anger. And so that's why when somebody does you wrong, the feelings and the emotions that you experience from that are yours. And you are responsible for those feelings and those emotions. If you're waiting for somebody to apologize to you, you haven't got it yet. Because their apology has no power to heal you or to encourage you or to empower you. Their apology means nothing. So if we're waiting for their apology, they're controlling our life. That's why we got to go ahead and love them and pray for them and forgive them, and go on with our life. Because I'm responsible for my feelings and my emotions. And you are too. You're responsible for those feelings and what you do with them. Nothing wrong with anger. It's just what you do out of it. See that? Come on, am I making sense? That's huge. That's huge. Because, folks, you can't just do what you want to do out of anger. You have to, what says the fruit of the Spirit is what? Self-control. You have to be able to control yourself. You can't do that apart from Jesus. Because you'll be wanting to bust something up. Right? No one relishes the fact that we have an enemy. But folks, it's just the reality. And if we understand this, we can love our enemies, speak well of them. Remember, it's never people. Never people. That's so big. That is so big. It's so important to understand what I'm talking to you today about. I just hope you're receiving this. Because folks, listen to me. If you are going to fulfill God's plan and purpose in your life, it's something we got to understand. I'm just here to tell you. Because wolves are out there. They're out there. Jesus said they're in sheep's clothing. They look like sheep, smell like sheep, talk like sheep, walk like sheep. But they wolves. Be wise. Everybody say wise. Harm.
Listening to the radio broadcast of Russell Road Church. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at www.russellroadchurch.com. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio, 45365. We close today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul. Be complete. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you.